May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Steve was reading from John chapter 12. I wasn't here yesterday, so they must have read the verses before that in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, after Lazarus is being raised from the dead, it says in verse 1 of that chapter, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was there serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, as he had the money and had the money box, and he used to pilfer what was put in it. Jesus therefore said, "Let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial, for the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Now a few days later, this is Mark chapter 14. Now the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread was 2 days off. This is 4 days later. The chief priests and scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and to kill him. For they were saying, "Not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people." And while he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "For what purpose has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me, not for me." There's a difference. "For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." You know, earlier, 4 days earlier, she saved this for the burial. "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her." This is the third time this same woman anointed Jesus with oil. First time is in Luke chapter 7, when she had her first encounter with Jesus and she was set free from 7 demons. When she was in the house of Pharisees, it's not a very popular thing to do or an easy thing to do for a prostitute to go into the house of Pharisees and to extravagantly worship, love Jesus the way she did in light of the fact that in his presence she knew that she was forgiven and accepted in the Beloved. And then the chapter 12 passage where she anoints his feet again and wipes his feet. And Judas speaks up and says, "Why this waste?" And when you get to chapter 14 of Mark, this is 4 days later, it's not just Judas speaking this. The whole group of the disciples now are complaining. It's interesting how an offense spreads, isn't it? I'm so grateful that Jesus didn't have a problem hanging out with lepers and prostitutes, because Jesus wasn't a dirt inspector. He was a foot washer, and there's a difference. One of the things that I get burdened about when I see God doing something new or seeing something fresh, which God is doing, some fresh things in lots of different places, and there is just this fresh opportunity, not just for a breakthrough. I love that word, but we've said before, this is an encounter, this is a breakthrough that brings you into a place called encounter, where you live from glory to glory, not just another encounter that brings a breakthrough. But what I see happen sometimes is people, as the Holy Spirit's doing new stuff in them, and there's an expansion of being able to hear his voice, it's how the enemy comes in and deceives people, become stone throwers and dirt inspectors, especially if they grow in the prophetic, as if their job is to sniff out everything that's wrong. And that's why I'm so grateful that Jesus didn't call people out, he called them forth, which is a big difference. That's what he did with Lazarus. But in this chapter 14 in Mark, as they're all offended, and they ask the question, "Why this waste?" And of course the word waste means excess, more than's necessary. And Jesus said that she's preparing my body for burial. Now, one of the things that you know that's different in John and Mark chapter 14 is that she doesn't pour oil out on his feet and wipe his feet with her hair or just wipe his feet with her tears. This time she breaks the vial and pours it out on his head. This was her dowry. She had had it most of her life, saved for her bridegroom. And she had poured out some in John chapter 7. She poured out more in Luke 7 and poured out more in John chapter 12. But this time she broke it and poured it out in his head, which is what you do on the honeymoon night when the wedding's consummated in a Jewish wedding. The bride would do that. Why was she doing that? Why was she saying, this is the second time she's accused of wasting. And this time Jesus said, she's preparing my body for burial. Not just saving it but preparing my body for burial. What's going on? I mean, and then Jesus says, wherever the gospel's preached, and I've rarely ever heard the gospel preached and this story added to it, but Jesus said, wherever the gospel's preached, this prostitute should be mentioned. Now, she's not a prostitute now, but he said, this is the person you're supposed to talk about and what she's done. Because what did she do? She did waste. She wasted her life on Jesus. And that's what the gospel's supposed to promote. If the gospel's really being preached, if we love because he first loved us, as the gospel of grace is really proclaimed, there's a real vision of God's grace, the thirsting heart of God for us, then the response shouldn't be just to pray the Baptist bar mitzvah, pray the prayer, so we can add that to the numbers. It should wreck a life that wants to give back to him, waste their life on him, because they realize he's wasted his life on us. And I believe that's what happened when she finally realized, she was the first one to get it, as to why Jesus had to die. That's why she was the first one he revealed himself to in the resurrection, a former prostitute. It was Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene. She got it, I believe, that he loves me so much, he loves us so much, this is how far he's willing to go for my freedom, for my wholeness. And if he's willing to go that far, then so am I. I will waste my life on you. And that's normal Christianity. That's what the gospel, the good news is so good, so extraordinarily good, so amazing, that it should provoke our own lives to go, Lord, I just want to waste my life on you. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it. One of the things over the years living here in Selma, and this is true in every place, you can find it everywhere, but Selma's small enough. One of the things I love about Selma, it is small enough to gauge what's happening in the kingdom. It's also easy to see what the enemy's doing. And one of the biggest things in Selma that the enemy tempts people with is the need to fit in, the fear they're going to be left out or they're going to miss out on something. But what the gospel really promotes is that fear. I don't want to miss out on anything that Jesus has. That's what grace does. Grace wrecks you forever because grace is the gift, and then you just give back the gift. That's what he wants, is to give back the gift of, I'm going to waste my life on you. Because that's what Jesus was thirsting for. One of the things he was thirsting for when he cried out from the cross was that we would get it, the true nature of his love, that he would go through what he went through. That's what the bruising of his heel would look like for me. I was the joy set before him on the cross. But his thirsting heart was also that it would so wreck our hearts that his thirsting heart is that we would love him back the same way. The cross was the romance of the ages. God's the greatest romantic who ever lived. He's love. And when it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth, that doesn't mean, I hear people say, well, I'm a truth person and they're a grace person. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. It's terrible theology. It says in John 1 that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. He's revealed him. Well, how did he reveal him? How did he tell the truth about God? Because he was full of grace and truth. And because he was full of grace, he told the truth about God. And when that happens, when we hear it, when we finally see it, our hero becomes Mary Magdalene. It's when Jesus becomes your bridegroom, not just in theology, but in reality. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.